Good morning. I'm going to try that again. I think you're awake. Good morning. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We haven't been doing a whole lot of standing this morning. We've been sitting. I saw a couple of yawns before we came in here, and I just told Dana a little bit ago, I says, I'm tired. This is not a good thing. He suggested I don't fall asleep. We have a verse up here this morning. And I'd like for us to repeat that verse together, 1 Chronicles 29:11. So let's say this verse together. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty for all that is in the heaven and all that is in the earth. And is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Thank you. You may be seated. This verse is not really anything that's really in the scripture I want to go to this morning, but as I was praying and asking the Lord to show me a little bit where He wants me to go and what He wants me to do this morning, this verse showed up. And I guess I was just blessed by looking at this verse. This is the God that we serve. He's great. He's powerful. He's glorious. He's victorious. He's the majesty. Everything that is here on the earth or in heaven is His. And we need to exalt Him above all. And I guess that's what I want to do this morning, is to exalt His name. I know it's almost time to close, but I hope you're with me. We'll try to move through here as quickly as we can. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 6. This has been an interesting week for America. It's been an interesting week for each one of us ourselves as we've gone through the elections trying to decide who's going to be our next president. I don't care for politics. I don't get into politics a whole lot. But as I watched what was happening this week, so many people had their highs and so many people had their lows. It was a rocky week. And now that we've come to the place where we have another man lined up for presidency, now we have people that are angry. And I'm not here this morning to take sides one way or the other. But there's something that I saw this week that spoke into my heart. And that is, as a Christian walking through this life, I do the exact same thing. I have my high spots. I have my low spots. And I want to share this morning with you a message that I titled, Secure in Christ. How many times do I walk through this life and I don't feel secure? Or maybe we can find out this morning why we lack that security or why we have that security. Hebrews 6. The book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians. They were Christians that were coming to a time where if they went back to Judaism, they weren't going to face persecution. But if they stuck with their belief, there's a good possibility they were going to face persecution. Some were already facing this persecution. If we look at the end of chapter 5 in Hebrews, there's an appeal made for the Christians to stay strong. He's telling them, you've come to the place where now you need milk. That's where you've gone to. I want you to be at the place where you eat meat, where you are strong. And then he goes chapter 6, verse 1. He says there, I want you to maybe let's just stop looking at a few of these things that we've been looking at. I want you to start maturing into your walk. He says in verse 2, the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, different things that he named. He said, you've looked at these things. Maybe it's time, let's go beyond those a little bit. And let's learn what it is to walk. He talks here next couple of verses about those that have turned their back on Him. Verse 8, at the end of verse 8, He says, whose end is to be burned. And then He comes to verse 9, and that's where I'd like to pick up this morning. He says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. He's telling them, even though we've been talking about these negative things, I believe better things of you. He says, we are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. And He goes on to verse 10. Excuse me. He says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God is seeing what you are doing. He's seeing the love you have for the brothers and sisters, the love that you have for each other, the things that you're doing for each other. And He doesn't forget it. He says there at the end of that verse, He says, and do minister. They were still continuing to minister to the people. Verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Continue to walk with Christ. Continue to love the Father. Continue to do good to each other. Because there is an end coming. I want you to realize that end, your inheritance. Don't give up. Continue your walk. And I believe He's speaking to us today. Let's not give up. Let's continue our walk. Then we come to verse 12. He says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. As I looked at this word slothful, I had to think about being lazy spiritually. Don't be lazy spiritually. What is my daily walk like? What is my ritual? Should I call it my ritual? How do I do my worship throughout the week? We don't always come in here and worship here as a body. But how do I do my worship throughout the week? Is it something that I do? I get up and I go out to my chair and I kneel there because it's the thing to do. I give my time to God, is what I call it. And in my heart, I'm untouched. It's still empty. That, I believe, is dull. That, I believe, is slothful. I see here a picture of steadfastness, of never giving up, of staying the course. I want to share with you a story really quickly this morning. The year we got married, 1993, about 5 months after we were married, Vaughn and I, there were 7 of us young men decided to take a hike. And Noah Wise didn't tell us to take a hike. But we went on a hike. We went up into the mountains of Arizona, and we camped on top of the mountain. It was a Friday night. We camped on top of the mountain. The next morning, we went down into a canyon. It was a very, very deep canyon, hundreds of feet down to the bottom. The sides of the canyon were stone walls. We went into, at the beginning, is where we went in, and there was some dirt. You could slide your way down into it. We were going to go in that canyon and hike for 3 days, get to the other end. It was 8 miles. And come out at the other end. Sunday afternoon is when we planned to be out at the other side. And we had it set up, if we don't show up Sunday evening, they send help. Because we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have a way to communicate. And it was a very dangerous hike. We went down into this canyon. The first 2 days were really good. It was cool. There was a very large pool that we had to swim through. Because there was the stone walls and the creek got very big. And it was very cold. Sunday forenoon, we got to a place where there was a steep, steep waterfall. We walked up to the edge of the waterfall as close as we could and we looked and it was huge. And we didn't have enough ropes to get down to the bottom of the waterfall. So one of the young men said, I'm going to go see what's beyond this waterfall. So he got up on the side of the rock and I still remember him very carefully working his way along the sides, trying not to fall. And he came back and he said, there's another waterfall that's bigger than this one. We had a choice. We go back the way we came, spend another 2 days going back and climbing back out again, or going up over the side. I didn't want to go up over the side because I hate heights. You put me in an airplane, that's different, but you put me climbing up a silo, I don't like that. put me climbing up a cliff. I don't like that. And there was another reason that I didn't want to climb up that side is because I was not secure in Christ. I knew should I slip and fall, my death was down on the bottom there. And my soul was not going to go up. On with the story. We began climbing up over the side, and you could see a long ways up there, and you could see a long ways down as we went up. Something happened on the way up the side of that mountain that gave me encouragement, that made me not want to quit, made me not want to give up my climb. Halfway, maybe three quarter way up, we found some dirt sticking out of the side, and occasionally you see a little tree growing. But part way up, here we found a fishing rod sticking in the dirt. What did that tell me? It told me somebody else has walked this path before, and they made it. We didn't find their remains on the bottom of the canyon. They made it. That fishing rod gave me encouragement, that gave me the opportunity to stay the course, the desire to stay the course. And that's what he's saying here in verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises, those that continue on. There's always somebody watching you. And I had to think about us as fathers as I was looking at this. Somebody is watching us as fathers. Our children are watching us. We can play dummy if we want to, but we're not playing dummy to our children. They know what we're made of. They know who we are on the inside. Staying the course, let's go to verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. I was so blessed looking at the life of Abraham. And I'd like to spend just a little bit of time here in chapter 22 of Genesis. Looking at Abraham's faith, looking at Abraham's security in his God. And maybe we can draw some lessons from this for our lives today to remain secure in Christ. And if we don't have that security, maybe today is the day where we need to make sure that we do have that security. Verse 1 in chapter 22 of Genesis. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or he tested Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. You know what I'm going to do? I'm sorry, but I'm getting older. I need glasses. I can't stand wearing these glasses in front of people, but I also can't see. So this morning I'll give in to my pride and I'm going to wear my glasses. My wife tells me just wear them. Okay, here we are. Let's go to verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Let's back up a little bit. God had told Abraham earlier, he said, I'm going to bless you. There's going to be a lot happening in your life. You're going to have children. Actually, he said, he took him outside and he says, look at the stars. If you can count those, then you can probably count your children. But here Abraham finally had a son, one son, him and Sarah together. And it says here in verse 2, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. I don't know what Abraham's thoughts were here. But God said, I want you to take that son that you love. I want you to take that son, I want you to take him to the mountain, go up on the mountain, you're going to build an altar, and you're going to put your son on that altar, and you're going to sacrifice him. I don't see anywhere that Abraham says, God, but wait a minute. But there was a security that Abraham had in his God. What did he do? Verse 3. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. 3 days' journey. Verse 4, then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkeys, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you. Did you see that last phrase? And come again to you. Abraham had a faith in his God. He was so secure in his God that he knew, if I go, God, you're going to be with me. I'll be very honest with you. When God asks something of me, I normally ask Him why. And I want to have an answer. I want to see some good things happening. If I'm supposed to do something, God, you need to show me. Maybe you need to put a sign out or something for me to see that I can go. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham went. Why? Because he was secure in his God. He knew his Father. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon his son Isaac, on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father. Now here's the son asking dad. He says, Dad, we've got everything we need for this offering. Except for the offering. We've got everything we need except the lamb. Abraham said in verse 8, he says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Again, we see Abraham's faith. His security in his Father. Even though things look dark, God had told him, I want you to move ahead. I want you to go and make this sacrifice. What do we do when we come to areas in our life where God speaks to us? Maybe it's even a small thing. Maybe God says, I want you to go share with your neighbor. Maybe somebody shows up at your door. Ask them in. I remember my dad. People would come to our door. We had a guy that lived in the camper at our property for a long time. We had a man that would come that would stay the weekend in our house and he didn't smell so good. But my dad was willing to do what God told him to do. And that was an example for me. Abraham here was willing to do what God told him to do because he knew his Father. Because he knew there was going to be enough strength there to go through whatever he gave him. Verse 9 says, and they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the wood. Let me ask you this morning, if God asks for my favorite thing, if God asks for the best thing in my life, am I going to question Him? If God asks for me to give up what I love the most, am I so secure in Him that I'm willing to do it? Let's find out in another scripture why Abraham could do this. I didn't write this down, or maybe I did. Maybe I can turn to it. Actually, it's back in Hebrews. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Not Hebrews. Yes, it is. Hebrews 11. We've been in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. It's not really the verse I'm looking for. Okay, let's keep going. You're right. I do have it written down here. Thank you. of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Do you see the faith there? Abraham knew that God had made a promise and God was going to keep His promise. So if I offer my son, if I'm obedient to him in whatever he asks of me, if I offer my only son, God's going to raise him up and I'm going to go back to my servants again that are waiting on me with my son. That was Abraham's faith. That was Abraham's confidence. That was his trust. Then in verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I was trying to picture this. Was Abraham's hand shaking? I don't know. I'm not sure how this was. But Abraham was obedient because he knew his God. And the angel of the Lord came unto Abraham, called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. See, Abraham is still listening. Even though Abraham is going through a difficulty, he's still listening. He says, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. I want us to look really quickly here at three pictures that show us or exemplify our security in Christ. We're going to go back to chapter 6 of Hebrews. We're going to go to the end of the chapter. We see here God talks a little bit about the promise that He made to Abraham in verse 18, that by two immutable things, or those are unchangeable things, the promise that He made and the oath that He made by Himself, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Who have fled for refuge. He's talking here about going to Christ for our refuge. When we think back into the Old Testament, they had created some cities of refuge, six cities. If you killed somebody by accident, you could go to any of those six cities and you could find refuge there. And that's a picture of us coming to the Father, a refuge, a safekeeping. We have a way of escape. Let's go on to the next one. Verse 19. Actually, let's go back to verse 18. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And then verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. We have an anchor. This is not in the deepest sea, but this is in the highest of heavens. Our anchor is Jesus Christ. We can tie to Him, and we will not be moved. There's so many times where we blame something or somebody for our faults and our failures. It's because of our own lust, it says. We are responsible to keep our hearts turned to the Father. We have an anchor. It is sure, it is steadfast, it is unmovable. And the third one we want to look at is in the end of verse 19, and which entereth into that within the veil. And again in verse 20 there, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. When we think about the old tabernacle, we think about this heavy, heavy veil that was in there where the priest could go into once a year and he could be an intercessor for us. But He could not lead us into that veil. He had to go in interceding for the people, for their sins. And now Jesus has come and He tore that veil in two. And He says, you can come into My presence. Now we can go in. And not only that, He went to glory. He left and He sent His comfort of the Holy Spirit to us. So He's in heaven right now. He's our forerunner. He's going on ahead of us. He opened the way before us. Now we can commune with Him. In all of eternity, enter into heaven with Him. Have you thought about that lately? We have a choice that we're making. It's either we're going to choose to live for ourselves here and spend our eternity in hell, or we're going to choose to live for Him here and spend our eternity with Him in heaven. How can I know that I'm secure in Christ? And I'm going to see if I can explain a few of these things really quick, really simply. This morning, if you're here and you're an unbeliever, and I say an unbeliever, maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord. Maybe you've never come to the place where you felt the Spirit draw you. You felt the Father draw you. As young boys and girls, you're going to come to a place sometime where you're going to feel the butterflies inside. Somebody's going to either going to be preaching, or maybe your mom and dad are having a devotional at home, or maybe you're just reading, or something's happening. All of a sudden, you feel that stirring within. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Father drawing you to Himself. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered, said unto him, talking to Nicodemus, He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What it is to be born again is to allow Him to come in and to clean us up and to fill us with His Spirit and to live for Him. There is nothing greater that can happen on this earth than that. Marriage is good, but that's not as good as receiving Christ. Receiving Christ into your life, allowing Him to come in and take that dirt and that filth out, filling us with Himself. That's how we begin our walk with God. I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of Romans 8 here that I got written down here. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now I'm talking to us as believers. Those of you that have chosen to walk with Him, those of you that have chosen to allow Him to direct your life, to tell you what to do, and those that are obedient. Let's catch that last phrase, those of us that are obedient. Because there is a profession that we can make, and we still don't walk with the Father. It takes obedience to the Word. We have, right here, everything that we need for life and godliness. I mentioned that before. But this is where we have it. It's in the Word of God. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I keep coming back to these verses in my private study. I keep coming back to them in our messages. Because there is nothing that can separate you from God. When you choose to walk with Him, when you choose to allow Him to infill you, and you follow Him, you walk closely with Him, you spend time with Him because you want to, not because you have to. You get on your knees and you love that time with God. I shared with you before how Max Licato's mother would walk through her bedroom, and she just about couldn't stand walking through her bedroom because there was a spot by her bed where she would get on her knees and pray. And that was such a strong draw to her that she almost couldn't stand walking through her bedroom without stopping and getting on her knees. That's the fire I want in my life. That's what I want in my walk, and I hope it's a desire for all of you that we want to spend time with our Father. We want to be baptized with His love. We want to be alive on fire. There is security in that. When He comes back, when the trumpet sounds, if you don't have that, you're going to die an eternal death. You have the choice now to walk with Him and to find that eternal peace to where you are secure. Last phrase I have here says, we are not in control, but we are deeply loved by the One who is. And I just want to challenge you this morning. Would you look into your heart this morning and realize if you're secure or not? Do you know where you are with the Father this morning? I know we know where we are. I know where I'm at, and I know you know where you're at. So I'm going to ask you this morning just to think about this. If there's somebody you'd like to talk to after the service, Find somebody to talk to. Don't leave this building today without knowing that you are totally secure in Christ. You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised when you leave this building that you're going to get home. We don't know. We're not promised that the Lord's not coming back today, and we're all called to the judgment. But we have this promise right now that you still have time. Let's stand for prayer. Father God, this morning again we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the cross that you were willing to take for us. Father, we should have had that. Our destiny wasn't good. But Father, because of your love, because of what you've done for us, we can experience freedom. And we can experience that security in our hearts, Father, knowing that we are walking with you without a shadow of a doubt. Father, would you rebuke Satan this morning? Would you not allow him to plant into our hearts, into our minds, negative things? But Lord, take our thoughts, take our words, and allow them to honor you. That's our desire this morning, to bless you and to love you. Thank you so much, Father, for the food that's being prepared. We ask that you would bless it. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.